Radio Daily for Not Monday. And already it's better. It's so fantastic. It's so glorious. It's amazing. It's this, that. It's the other, even. It's simply a smiling, smiling thing. Welcome to the 11th of February. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from all the places you do, including the YouTube page, you know, /GeekRadioDaily, where that fantastic Learnstitute is up, where so far nobody has dared to say that they think I'm wrong with who I believe Ruth, this new doctor, or old doctor, if you will, who that is. So, yeah, go check it out and you know, get some feedback. Folks, bringing it to you today, the man that's ready to talk to the bosses again about life and liberty. That's Podcasting Grit Siegfried.
You cannot escape your destiny.
Oh, well, I guess you're stuck there. Hi, everybody. I'm the guy that knows how to deal with these stupid people at work. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Oh, I'm taking a dump. I'm taking a dump. I'm taking a dump at work.
It's magical. What happened, sir?
1854, London streets are lit by coal gas for the very first time.
1938, BBC Television produces the world's science fiction television program, an abridged adaptation of Kirill Kaspik's play Rur, Rossum's Universal Robots, the play from which the word robot was originally coined.
1939, Liza Meitner and her nephew Otto Fritsch publish a theoretical paper which uses the term nuclear fission for the first time ever in the journal Nature.
1954, the largest light bulb in history, rated at 75,000 watts, is lit at Rockefeller Center in New York to commemorate the 75th anniversary of Edison's patented first light bulb. The bulb is 3.5 feet high, 2 feet in diameter. In January of 1879, Edison built the first high-resistance incandescent, you know, electric light bulb with a very thin platinum filament that popped, and he needed someone else to help him, like he did with all of his inventions.
1970, the University of Tokyo's Institute of Space and Aeronautical Science launches the first Japanese satellite, Osumi 5, and is launched aboard a Lambda 4 rocket from the Kagoshima Space Center on the Osumi Peninsula, making Japan the fourth country to put a satellite into Earth orbit after France, the USSR, and the US.
The Lambda rocket eventually did sync up in space with Omega Mu. 1973, the National Inventors Hall of Fame is founded on the anniversary of the birth of Thomas Edison in 1847. Funny, it was not the How to Get a Patent Museum.
Figures. He didn't do any of the work, and he claims it as his day. It really should be his mom's day. 1984, the fourth mission of the Space Shuttle Challenger becomes the first shuttle to land on the runway at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. It is the 10th NASA shuttle mission.
1990, Buster Douglas, a 40-1 underdog, knocks out Mike Tyson in 10 rounds at Tokyo to win boxing's world heavyweight champion, causing one of the largest upsets in sports history, and his video game came out after he was already beaten in the rematch.
1993, Midway Games releases Mortal Kombat version 4.0 to arcades in the U.S. What'd they do, just hook him up to the Wi-Fi to download the firmware upgrade?
1996, Grandmaster Garry Kasparov wins the second of 6 games against Deep Blue, a computer capable of seeing between 50 to 100 billion chess positions every 3 minutes. He'll ultimately win the match 2 wins, 1 loss, 3 draws, but will go down in history as the first chess master to ever lose a game to a computer. Slacker.
It's all right. He did win the kickboxing tournaments with Deep Blue later on. 1997, NASA launches the Space Shuttle Discovery on its second mission to make upgrades to the Hubble Space Telescope. The crew will make a record-setting 5 extravehicular activities to repair the orbiting telescope.
2000, the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals reverses an earlier ruling that it prevented Kinetix from shipping the virtual game station PlayStation emulator software for the Macintosh. Because it's 2000. They can be pirated.
2001, a Dutch programmer launched a computer virus infecting millions of emails by tricking people into clicking on a link of alleged nude photos of tennis star Anna Kournikova.
If you're going to put a honeypot out there, it's a pretty good one. 2003, Sony Online Entertainment releases the fantasy Morpig EverQuest Online Adventures for the PlayStation 2. EverQuest means, of course, the game never ends, so don't buy any others.
2005, Blizzard Entertainment releases the MMORPG World of Warcraft, speaking of never ending, for personal computers in Europe. Within 3 years, over 2 million players will subscribe to the game, and it is still in play to this day.
They should make a movie out of that. 2006, Steve Fawcett sets the world record for the longest nonstop flight when the Virgin Atlantic Global Flyer sets down at Bournemouth Airport in England at the end of its 76-hour, 45-minute flight, covering a distance of 26,389.3 miles before having to declare an emergency and landing due to a complete electrical failure. Oops. Sorry about that. Birthdays?
Should have tried with a glider. Taylor Lautner's 28. He played Jacob from Twilligit. He was also in Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl, Abduction, and Scream Queens.
Brilliant in Scream Queens. Natalie Dormer is 38, which I'm having a hard time believing. Yeah. City and Hunger Games, and of course, Game of Thrones. 38? Really? check, get the interns on this.
Let's put this in perspective. Matthew Lawrence is 40 years old from Gimme a Break, Blossom, Boy Meets World.
Bryce Beckham is 44. That's Wesley on Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah, that's right. The kid from Mr. Belvedere is only a handful of years older than Ned. Wow. Damian Lewis is 49. He was Major Brody on Homeland.
Diane Franklin is 59, one of the princesses from Bill and Ted, Amityville 2, Last American Virgin, Better Off Dead. Oh, she's so cool.
Tina Louise, 86, Ginger on Gilligan's Island.
No longer with us, born in state in 1847. Thomas Edison, as you may have heard, an American engineer and businessman who has the patents for, like, the light bulb, the phonograph, and a bunch of other things.
1909, Max Baer. He's an American boxer and actor.
1915, Pat Welsh, an American actress who you best know as the voice of E.T.
1926, Leslie Nielsen. Airplane, spaceship, Naked Gun. It's pretty much where we're going to stop when it comes to talking about his career. Is also Forbidden Planet.
1936, Burt Reynolds. White Lightning, Longest Yard, Smokey and the Bandit, Cannonball Run, Breaking In, Striptease, Boogie Nights, Dukes of Hazzard, Archer, which he did fantastic playing himself.
Yeah, but we're not going to talk about his disappearing goatee in Dukes of Hazzard.
Nope.
On CBS, we've got a new NCIS, FBI, and FBI Most Wanted.
ABC, it's The Conners, Bless This Mess, Mixed-ish, Black-ish, and an inmate becomes a lawyer litigating cases for other inmates while working tirelessly to overturn his own life sentence in the premiere of For Life.
Looks interesting. NBC, Girls Just Want to Have Puddin' on a new Ellen's Game of Games, This Is Us, and In the Graveyard on a new Amsterdam.
Over on Fox, it's a rerun of The Resident, and on Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back, it's The Southern Kitchen, which is here in Richmond, the proprietor of which was on the talk show yesterday and never mentioned a word about what was wrong, only that Gordon Ramsay came by and loved everything. Can't wait to see the show.
Yeah, well, you know, spoilers. CW, The Flash, Sarah, Rory, and Ava crash a high school reunion to stop a killer from completing unfinished business on a new episode of The Legends of Tomorrow.
Freeform has Ray Parker Jr.'s The Other Woman.
Boomerang has Tom and Jerry, The Last Dragon.
Hey, look, if Dr. Doolittle can fight one. FX, Murder on the Orient Express. I believe it's the newest one. That's fine. You know, the 70s one was good, too.
FXX Simpsons Marathon, Monty Can't Buy Me Love, 30 Minutes Over Tokyo, and guess who's coming to criticize dinner?
Aurora Borealis? BBC America, Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian. Dun, dun, dun.
Was that on BBC America? I thought you said IFC, because they got Goodfellas, which is a very different movie.
Much different. Sci-Fi Channel's got Underworld Blood Wars, which is the one from 3 years ago, maybe. Who the hell knows? We're watching the Lifetime Movie Network, because an unassuming business executive meets a beautiful woman through an online dating agency, becomes infatuated with her, moves across the country to marry her, then realizes their relationship is not what he thought. Sidney Penney, Cameron Matheson star in The Woman He Met Online.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Dr. Carver's reunion with an old friend is cut short when a criminal in for treatment escapes. And who better to track down a crook in a hospital than a doctor? Okay, I click at 12. Dr. Chad treats a mugging victim who was once a famous film actress. And Chad does such a good job, she gets out there and goes back to steady work. You might have saw her in Beetlejuice, Mars Attacks, and Fantasy Island. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
Hi, geeks. I'm at home listening so I can write before I forget. As a parade of podcasts passes through my special mind, I can't begin to guess where Chad, Abby, and friends are. Still fun to hear about them. There already is a movie from a book that's about a hitman being sent after a character who's inspired by Santa Claus, Terry Pratchett's Hogfather. A great holiday reading and viewing, even for one friend who hates Christmas, because of course Pratchett goes about disgraceful ways humans mess up Christmas. Maybe this other, newer movie will be good, we hope. And someday, I will create comic strips about an alternate reality where Thomas Edison gives thanks from patent earners for giving us a supportive place to invent, and where he and Nikola Tesla got a stack of signed blank checks and Tesla doesn't go bad. And now, the next podcast is playing, so I'll close. Thanks, as always, for making you smile. Well, that is from Bill. Well, Bill, that's fascinating. I absolutely want to read that comic.
No kidding.
And you know, I hadn't really thought about Santa and being hunted down Hogfather. You're absolutely right. That's fantastic and is a fantastic Christmas tradition for everybody. I'll say fantastic one more time. And you drop us a fantastic note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, send us a fantastic voicemail simply by dialing the fantastic number of
510-GRD-CROW.
It's not bad.
This is Phil Collinson. You're listening to Radio Free Scaro.
Anyone who might listen to this in the UK,
you will guffaw with amazement.
Yeah, it looks like you need a Piers Winger in here. That's a load-bearing winger.
I feel the impact of Torchwood.
But we had such hope for the character. Thinking, oh, wow, look at Adric. He's great. I'm sure he's starting off a little shaky here, but he'll come around. We've riled him up.
Do we need all these singing-type things for a bunch of nerds?
Pardon me, Pedantor.
That's me, Pedantor of the gutter.
There's the typical Burgess modesty we've all come to know and loathe.
This show has always been about warts and all, by God, and we'll keep doing it.
It's up on RadioFreeScaro.com.
Hooray!
Hi, my name is Joanne Kelly, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily.
You certainly are, and you know she is right now, too. Well, you can pretend.
Sir!
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
No, but you do when it's time to add to your collection, whether you admit it or not. What is out today, sir?
Well, in television, we've got Swamp Thing, the complete series. Wait, which one's this?
This is the new one that got canceled before the show premiered. Which is, it's got its moments. Everyone should watch it. I mean, seriously, you'll have yourself a good time. In our movies department, we've got First Love.
The Universal Law of Attraction, which honestly has a lot tied into the first love.
The Trouble with You.
Aw. Well, it's because I have so many spirits in the dark.
Could be. That makes you Inmate Zero.
Ooh.
No, seriously, tonight we're getting the story of the Antichrist. He left the world, but there might remain parts of his incarnation, and if so, these unholy relics will bestow power upon whomever discovers them, or picks them, if you will. Rachel Crowe, Eric Satis star in Bill Z. Bubbs, Boogers of the Antichrist.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Charlize Theron's Denver and Delilah Productions are working on a TV adaptation of the classic horror film, The Frighteners.
Death ain't no way to make a living.
Based on the report, the potential series has made the rounds over the past year while also exploring the potential follow-up film, maybe, but that follow-up fell through, and now the series is just going to have a different tone than the original film, which, of course, was directed by the Lord of the Rings' Peter Jackson.
When a man's jawbone drops off, it's time to reassess the situation.
The new Frighteners will be stripped of humor and adopt a more serious approach, which would be in line with Denver and Delilah's production's previous works. The Netflix original series Mindhunter comes to mind.
But no humor. But John Astin made that movie work.
It's true. The Frighteners first opened in theaters in 96 with Michael J. Fox's Frank Bannister, a man who could talk to ghosts after the death of his wife, hires a trio of ghosts, and together they con people by exorcising the house. It only made $16 million, but it became a fan favorite over the years, which makes it prime material for a return, even with its more serious tone. There's no word if Peter Jackson will take part in the series, nor if any of its original stars will return. Given that it's now, you know, stripped of humor approach, likely it's not going to be the case.
It might be okay, but look, if it sucks, just check out Deadbeat on Hulu. Or, if you can find it, Randall and Hopkirk Deceased.
I doubt Jackson's going to be back, especially since, you know, he was told about the non-comedic return and said, "Get back in the goddamn ground, you unorganized, grabtastic gob of teleplasmic shit!"
Hasbro continues to lay the groundwork for its dreamed-of shared verse that they hope to unleash upon movie-going audiences soon.
You know you want a mask crossover with James Bond Jr. or glowworms and Beyblades.
I think that just made my inner child hit puberty. In an upcoming Transformers IDW comic series, the Transformers are getting another crossover. If you liked the animated Star Trek crossover, the Ghostbusters crossover, the upcoming Terminator crossover, then prepare for the ultimate comic team-up in a new 4-issue miniseries as Transformers crosses over with My Little Pony.
Needs to be about 20% cooler.
Simply titled My Little Pony / Transformers, the series will bring the war between the Autobots and Decepticons to the pony's homeland of Equestria, after Queen Chrysalis miscasts a spell that interferes with a Cybertronian space bridge. With this, Optimus Prime recruits the land's four-legged inhabitants to help fend off Megatron and minions.
Now, this could work, no matter what you naysayers think.
All right, new friends, it's time to hoof it. IDW's editor-in-chief John Barber sounds thrilled for it to finally hit shelves. In fact, he revealed that the project has been in the works for a while. "Teaming Transformers and My Little Pony has been a dream we've had for a long time," said Barber. "We're all really excited to see this mashup of characters by a mashup of creators who are honoring the legacy of both universes and doing it in the most bonkers fun way possible."
Sounds like they've got both the touch and the power! Yeah!
"And you shall deal with it like a boss."
Buzz Bingo Movie Mortality has released an infographic which reveals which actor has overtaken Christopher Lee as the actor killed on screen more than any other.
Sean Bean, come on down.
Well, turns out the honor actually goes to Danny Trejo.
Well, he's not looking for safe.
Christopher Lee had 60 on-screen deaths, while also at the top 10 are the likes of Lance Henriksen with 51, Vincent Price 41, Dennis Hopper 41, Boris Karloff at 41, John Hurt 39, Bela Lugosi 36, Tom Sizemore 36, Eric Roberts 35. The highest scoring actress was Shelley Winters with 20 deaths, followed by Julianne Moore with 17. Sean Bean only has 23.
Only?
Trejo, however, has 65.
Well, best in Mexico.
Trejo's screen deaths have mainly been from multiple bullet wounds, but he's also been crushed by an elevator, crushed by light rigging, crushed by a CRT TV, stabbed by a pool cue, stabbed by a pool cleaning wand, stabbed with syringes, garroted, exploded, beheaded, a drill to the forehead, and jumping off a building.
All of a sudden, there was a light, and then I was falling.
Another interesting stat in the graph is the one that lists those actors whose characters are most likely to die on screen in a film. Surprisingly, Sean Bean didn't top the list. In fact, he came in 10th with his character's chance of surviving at 42.3. Topping the list was a tie between Game of Thrones star Kit Harington and the late Star Trek alum Merritt Buttrick at 62.5% each, while actors Mahershala Ali and AJ Cook tied for second with 50%. When asked about the honor, Trejo said, "Why do I want to be a real person when I'm already a myth?"
And we expect each of you to contribute to the Patreon because we didn't use any accents in the reading of that story.
Nope.
Researchers at Rutgers University created a blood sampling bot that performed as well or better than people.
Wait, trained people? Or any people? Including vampires?
Like most new medical technology, the device promises quick results and more time for healthcare professionals to spend treating their patients.
Nothing comforts me more than the words needle and speedy.
At the heart of this unnamed machine is an ultrasound image-guided robot that draws blood from veins. Fully integrated with a centrifuge-based analyzer, the device could be used at home or on the go or in emergency rooms, clinics, doctors' offices, and hospitals.
Great. Now we're going to get all those videos, the blood-drawing challenge.
More than 1.4 billion venipunctures, which is inserting a needle into a vein for a blood sample or IV therapy, are performed annually in the United States. But the simple procedure isn't always simple, and it is among the leading cause of injury to patients and clinicians.
Am I supposed to trust a blood-sucking Terminator?
Results from the first... God, you must roll like a critical fail if you're a clinician and get hurt by... Anyway. Results from the first human clinical trial of an automated blood drawing and testing robot were compared to or exceeded clinical standards. The overall success rate was 87% among 31 participants. For the 25 people whose veins were easy to access, that number jumped to 97%. Future uses could include central venous access, dialysis, and placing arterial lines, as well as IV catheterization. "And now I will have trouble sleeping, knowing that we are teaching robots the best way to torture us. But at least they can't transform into bats."
Bleh. If you think that was somewhat horrifying, I actually got that beat.
No, thank you.
Last week, a Korean TV special called Meeting You aired, which focused on a family's loss of their 7-year-old daughter. And in the quite unsettling finale, the program attempted to reunite the girl with her mother using a virtual reality recreation complete with audio.
No, I think I'll take that vampire catheter needle bot thing.
Not only was the girl fully replicated in 3D, able to move around and interact, but the mother was given touch-sensitive gloves to accompany her VR headset, and she was able to walk around a limited green screen set.
Be too afraid that this was a trick of the lawnmower man.
Now, we can't speak on how this affected the mom. You know, being able to see her daughter one last time might have helped her in her grieving process, but some code pretending to be a living thing she loved might only add to the trauma. Only time and research will tell.
Spirits in the material world is just a song, people.
On our quest to make the holodeck, we should have expected something like this was coming. The uncanny valley is something we still struggle with when it comes to entertainment on its own. We're not equipped to be tackling the same issues with loved ones. So if this was like behind closed doors, then maybe we could argue the psychological and ethical merits of it. But putting it on TV, then stream for the world to see, whatever the long-term moral and ethical questions are, we're going to have to face. This is a little fracked up.
The Dreamatorium is much safer emotionally, you know.
And I don't need to get trapped in the Arnold Rimmer experience. Oh, Smegno. Snow smegging way, buddy. GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, Night State 3.0 license. Go check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Always a fun thing. And look around for us. Like I told you yesterday, you know, the Cine Mistress, she's put up her thing about Birds of Prey, which is awesome. You might have caught me hanging out with the OSI file guys talking about Bigfoot and the Bionic Man, which is so cool. And again, the Learn Institute. I think I'm right about this. Go watch it, and that way you're ready whether I'm right or wrong, especially if I'm wrong. And drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, you can send a voicemail by dialing
510-GRD.
And we'll get back at it the next time we can.
I think I'm out of witty banter.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
Good night, suckers.
Moscow in flames, missiles headed toward New York. Film at 11.
Please.
No.
I know in the past I may have done you wrong. Right?
Right.
However, in the future, Grievous, I will never, ever do you wrong again. Right?
Right!
Yeah. Now, we have a big chance to make a run for some big bucks. 80,000 of them.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do, kidnap the Pope or something?
How'd you guess? No. We're just going to run over to Texarkana and pick up 400 cases of Coors. And bring it back in 28 hours.
Whoa. I got plans for you.
That's called bootlegging, and that's against the law. Well, who gives a turkey when the snowman and the bandit are running the booze? No one can stop it.
Hold it right there. There ain't going to be no more snowman and bandit. You understand why? Well, because I've got to go in the morning to Conyers and pick up a load of manure.
Shitty job.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. Ask me.
What the hell are we wanting to go to Texas for and haul beer back here? What is that?
For the good old American life. For the money, for the glory, and for the fun. Mostly for the money.